This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler. To Istanbul, the arrest of the mayor of Istanbul by swarming authorities representing the Turkish government. İmamoğlu is the man's name. He's very popular, and he's now detained by Erdogan's government. Why? I welcome Sinan Çiddi of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy to introduce us to İmamoğlu again. He's been a prominent candidate for years. He was ready to run for the presidency in 28 or earlier. But now, Sinan, who is he? What do we need to know? Why was he arrested by a swarm of authority? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. Right. So, you know, Turks, as well as European leaders, have kind of grown used to seeing the rise of Ekrem İmamoğlu, who is currently the mayor of Turkey's largest city, approximately a city of 16 million people. And interestingly, the former position of President Tayyip Erdogan, who was also mayor of Istanbul back in the late 1990s. And that's what essentially launched his national campaign to become Turkey's prime minister and subsequently president. So İmamoğlu has governed Turkey's largest city since 2019. He has won the mayor's race twice, but in 2019 as well as 2024. He's pretty charismatic. He's well-known. He's young. And he has, you know, since becoming mayor, really used that position as a means to sort of launch his national sort of presence and campaign for political office to challenge Tayyip Erdogan at some point in the future. They're estimating, you know, possible early elections for the presidency, but they really don't have to hold them until 2028. But İmamoğlu, then the February, basically said, you know, I would like to run. I'm going to challenge Erdogan. So he declared his presidency, his candidacy for the president, sorry, in late February. And there was going to be a convention this weekend whereby a primary vote would have been basically held by his party. And he was hoping to clinch the nomination and essentially run for president.
The arrest is the beginning of what looks to be a sweep. There, FT is reporting 37 arrested here, 224 being pursued. And why? Because online, they have protested the arrest of İmamoğlu. And I learned that the government has been shutting down websites, has been slowing the internet. There have been protests in the street. But in any event, this arrest is sponsoring lots of protests. Is that to be expected? Is that what the government wants?
So Erdogan has gone for the nuclear option in terms of, you know, sending counterterrorism police to Mayor İmamoğlu's house at crack of dawn yesterday, and essentially, you know, taking him into custody. And right now we've basically found out that he's, you know, in contact with his lawyers, whatnot. And I say it's a nuclear option because, you know, Erdogan is afraid of İmamoğlu. He should be, simply because İmamoğlu is basically the only candidate to rise up in Turkey's vast political opposition in the last decade, if not longer, that possesses the most significant chance of defeating Erdogan for the presidency. I mean, poll after poll shows that, you know, İmamoğlu is very popular right now. He's been very effective as a mayor in terms of public services and his governance, right? And Erdogan basically sees the writing on the wall, given how badly he's mismanaged the economy and just general sort of political administration of Turkey. And if there was an election tomorrow, he knows that, Erdogan would lose by a landslide. So, you know, in knowing this for the last couple of years now, Erdogan has thrown up, thrown down, I would say, legal impediments in front of, İmamoğlu, such as, you know, charges for this and, you know, very perfunctory stuff. But essentially, those legal challenges would have eliminated his candidacy based on some aspect of the law that the prosecutors were going to sort of finagle. And what they came up with ultimately was 2 days ago, as in the day before his arrest, they terminated or annulled his university diploma. And that's significant because in order to run for the presidency in Turkey, the constitution requires a candidate to be a university graduate. İmamoğlu went to university for 30 years ago, and he has a diploma, transcripts, everything's proven, as well as friends and acquaintances, as well as his professors who can testify on his behalf. And that was annulled. And we just thought that was going to be the end of it. And İmamoğlu was just going to sort of fight this in the courts. In less than 24 hours, he was literally arrested and taken into custody. And the protests that you allude to, if you know, if your listeners basically go online to any aspect of, you know, social media that in the Turkey space, you're going to see a significant amount of protests that have erupted across the country, universities here and there, public protests outside of the mayor's office in Istanbul, a variety of chants calling for Erdogan's resignation, calling him a dictator. But it is what's happened is, you know, on the broader spectrum of things is, it really is a declaration by Erdogan that he is no longer interested in having, you know, a free, you know, not necessarily free and fair elections, but the, you know, the freedom of candidates to declare presidency and run against Erdogan has been curtailed, right? And you know, many observers are seeing this as a transition from authoritarian governance by Erdogan to an outright autocracy that we've kind of seen in other sort of countries, especially places like Venezuela and Russia.
Another turn of the screw. The Financial Times includes a farewell remark from the mayor of Istanbul as he was led away. "We are facing a great tyranny, but I want you to know that I will not back down." Okay, yes, but the FT also speculates that Erdogan is extremely successful now because Europe needs him. Europe is looking at the threat of Russia, and Erdogan has a very large and active army. In addition, there is talk that the new administration in Washington recognizes strongmen and wants to keep them in place. Do you account for either of those being a factor in this arrest?
I would think so. Erdogan feels pretty emboldened right now, and he's making a big play, exactly as you suggest, to Europe, which is already reading from a deep sense of sort of insecurity, perceiving that the United States might not essentially, you know, live up to its commitments in the transatlantic alliance to provide, you know, security guarantees to Europe, in, especially as the Russian sort of military threat towards Europe seems to grow. And Erdogan came out like about 10 days ago and stated in a public address saying, look, the future of European security can't be achieved without Turkey's participation. And you saw, you know, personalities such as the Polish prime minister, as well as the president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, basically saying, look, we need to engage with Turkey much more seriously. We need to think about revamping and restarting Turkey's accession negotiations to join the European Union. Because that's what Erdogan's argument is, saying, you know, we have a significant military capability that you cannot do without. And as a result, he's betting that the international sort of arena, Turkey's partners and allies, will just overlook this vast transgression of democratic norms and procedures and just basically focus on, you know, what they need to focus on, which is, you know, security threats. That might actually prove to be true. We've seen, you know, some, you know, messages coming out from European leaders, Turkey's, you know, partners and allies, suggesting that they're concerned that this is an outright, you know, affront to democratic normal procedures. I'm not sure there's anything they really want to do anything more than that, because they're not really in a position to do anything. And to the extent that they call Erdogan out as being a sort of authoritarian or an autocratic leader, they fear that, you know, his Turkey's backlash and distance from Europe as being, you know, an essential security partner might wane, and they don't want that. So I wouldn't bet anything on sort of external powers coming to the aid of Turkey's opposition movement.
There is an opposition figure who's been detained since 2016. I think his name is pronounced Demirtas.
Yes.
And is that the likely fate of İmamoğlu? He'll be in jail through 28?
That, you know, Selahattin Demirtas was the leader of Turkey's, you know, pro-Kurdish movement, sort of Kurdish democratic rights movement. And you're right, he was jailed, and he was jailed for no basic good reason. You know, charges against him are unsubstantiated. And he defied Erdogan because he intended to run for the presidency, not because we necessarily thought he was going to win, but, you know, his imprisonment represented what Erdogan was seeking to demonstrate to other would-be challenges, which is, you know, if I think that you are going to present a significant electoral challenge to me, I won't shy away from essentially putting you in prison.
Right.
I hate to be pessimist towards, you know, Turkey's sort of protest movement and you know, initiative takers. But as it stands, you know, sporadic and heightened protests now don't necessarily mean that this will translate into anything that will allow İmamoğlu to walk out of prison anytime soon. And I also anticipate a vast crackdown on all these protest movements. And fortunately, a lot of these people are out on the streets now who are being filmed, and you know, facial recognition software, all sort of being gathered, information being gathered on them. I would not be surprised if they're branded as terrorists and lose their jobs. And if, you know, and some of these sort of more sort of figurehead types, you know, being hauled before the courts and imprisoned also.
Sinan Chidi for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,